Good morning, Bethel Church. My name is Stephen. I'm one of the pastors here at Bethel, and it is my great delight to continue our sermon series, Red Letters, as we journey through the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus begins his sermon in Matthew 5 with his Beatitudes, these blessed are statements that turn everything upside down. When Jesus sees the crowds following him, he heads up on the mountainside. He sits down, his disciples gather around him, and he kicks off. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The only way into God's kingdom is to admit we are bankrupt on our own. We need a Savior to pay our way. Jesus continues, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In these eight verses, Jesus turns everything upside down. We might think the word blessed belongs under a photo of a new car or news of a job promotion, but blessed are the persecuted, the hated, the insulted. Jesus knows how to drop a jaw. That's why when Jesus gives his final beatitude, blessed are the persecuted, he stops. He looks right at his disciples and doubles down. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. These verses, Matthew 5, 11, and 12, are our text for this morning. So if you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12. We'll be learning about persecution this morning, as Jesus calls us to expect it in verse 11 and to embrace it in verse 12. We'll also be hearing stories of persecuted Christians around the world, reminding us that there is not a persecuted church and a free church. We are one church, and we suffer and celebrate together. Parents with young children, if these stories of persecuted Christians are too intense for your kids, we welcome you to slip out at any point and catch the rest online. We believe that these stories will inspire and encourage our family here. Before we get into God's word, let's pray. Father God, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and to die for us. Open your word to us this morning. Speak to our hearts. Teach us, help us to expect and embrace persecution that we may suffer for you. We pray this in the powerful name of you, Lord Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen. Almost exactly 2 years ago, ISIS terrorists kidnapped 21 Coptic Christians from their workplaces, dressed them in orange jumpsuits, dragged them to the sandy shoreline of the Mediterranean Sea, and beheaded them for their faith in Jesus. And almost exactly 2 years ago, we showed this photo in church and spent some time praying for persecuted Christians around the world. The terrorists filmed the incident and shared the video worldwide, hoping to spread fear. But instead of spreading fear, it only spread faith in Jesus. You see, after the beheadings, the Coptic church released 20 names of those they knew. Who was that 21st martyr? It was later learned that the 21st martyr, his name was Matthew Iriga. He was originally a non-Christian, but when he saw the faith of his coworkers, he told the terrorists, "Their God is my God," knowing that he was going to his death. He was the first of many to find faith in Jesus through this tragedy. Thereafter, reporters began reaching out to the families of the victims. One man who lost two brothers on that day gave this statement: "ISIS gave us more than we asked when they didn't cut out the part where my brothers declared their faith in Jesus Christ. ISIS helped us strengthen our faith. I thank ISIS that they didn't cut the audio." He continues, "Today I was having a chat with my mother. I asked her, 'What would you do if you saw an ISIS member walking down the street and I told you that man slayed your son?' She said, 'I would ask God to open his eyes and I would invite him into our home.'" These testimonies are transforming Egypt, with headlines telling the stories. Murders spark largest outreach ever in Egypt. One gospel track with a picture of that fateful day captures the hope of the martyrs in orange and the emptiness of the terrorists in black through a simple poem in Arabic: "Who fears the other? The row in orange watching paradise open, or the row in black with hearts bent and broken?" After the poem, the track shares Bible verses about how we can begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. More than 2 million of these tracks have been spread all throughout Egypt, and many have trusted Jesus as their Savior, all because these 21 men gave everything for Jesus. Most of us have never risked our lives for the gospel, but every Christian is affected by persecution. There's not a persecuted church and a free church. We are one church. When one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. We also must remember that persecution takes many forms. If we are actively sharing our faith, we will be persecuted. Through social pressures, cold shoulders, maybe even discrimination at times, Matthew 5, 11 and 12 promises us this. Jesus teaches us, expect persecution and embrace it. First, Jesus calls us to expect persecution in verse 11. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, expect it. That was pretty good, but I think you can say this with more boldness, with more fervor. I believe in you guys. Turn to your neighbor and boldly tell them, expect it. There we go. That was great. Matthew 5, 11. "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." Not if, when. Did you catch that? This is what Jesus is saying. If you are faithfully following Jesus, people will mock you. They will harm you. They will do everything they can to undermine you simply because you belong to Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:12. "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." But wait a moment. What about God's promises of protection? What about Jeremiah 29:11? "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Doesn't God promise to protect us from harm? Well, yes, that's Jeremiah 29:11. And God does protect us physically at times. But we need more context. You see, if we roll back three chapters, we find Jeremiah 26, 11. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and all the people, "This man should be sentenced to death because he has prophesied against this city. You have heard it with your own ears." Jeremiah is receiving death threats for proclaiming God's message. The hope in the future that Jeremiah has is with God, not with what this world calls health, wealth, and happiness. If you are faithfully following Jesus, you will suffer for it. You might miss that promotion because you didn't cut corners. You might have a simpler vacation because you give generously to those in need. You might be mocked for your choices. And yes, you might even be ridiculed because you talk about your relationship with Jesus. After all, Jesus promised in John 16:33, "In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world." As Christians, we must not mistake comfort for blessing or suffering for curse. Jesus never promised that his disciples wouldn't suffer. He promised that we wouldn't suffer without hope. We suffer with hope, knowing that one day we will be face to face with Jesus, along with everyone who found faith in Jesus because of our witness. 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 16 tell us this: "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come your way to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name if you suffer as a Christian." In this life, we will all suffer. We can suffer for many different reasons. We can suffer the consequences of our mistakes. We've all been there, I'm sure. We can suffer the effects of our sin. Or we can suffer because we were not ashamed to share the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone we know. Suffer because of Jesus, not because of you. We're called to share God's truth and love, and when we do, Jesus calls us to expect persecution. It wasn't just Jeremiah and the prophets who suffered for their faith. The apostles gave everything to share the message of Jesus with the whole world. Matthew, who wrote this book we're reading from, he was killed by sword while witnessing in Ethiopia. Mark was martyred in Alexandria, Egypt, after being dragged by horses through the streets. Luke was hanged in Greece. John was lowered into boiling oil. After he miraculously survived, he was exiled to the prison island of Patmos. Peter was crucified upside down in Rome. James the Just was thrown down from the pinnacle of the temple over 100 feet. When he miraculously survived, his persecutors beat him to death with clubs as he prayed, "Father, forgive them." James the Great was sentenced to beheading in Jerusalem. The Roman officer who guarded James watched amazed as James defended his faith. The Roman officer declared faith in Jesus and knelt beside James as they were both beheaded for their faith in Jesus. Bartholomew was whipped to death in Armenia. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Greece. He continued to preach for 2 days from that cross until he finally died. Thomas was stabbed with a spear in India. Jude was killed with arrows for his faith. Matthias was stoned and then beheaded. Paul was tortured and beheaded in Rome. But not before he wrote these prison letters that we still read today that still lead people into relationship with Jesus. No threat could stop them from sharing the love of Jesus with the whole world. And this level of persecution is still happening today. Take, for example, Sister Amber, a missionary in Tibet. She sets out a wash bin and begins washing the feet of the Tibetan people she is serving, sharing the gospel with them as she does. 25 families feel the love of Jesus for the first time. But not long thereafter, she hears a knock on the door. The Tibetan police have come for her to arrest her and to force her to sign a false confession to crimes she didn't commit. Listen to her story of her love for her persecutors in this clip from Voice of the Martyrs Radio.
And you just wanted to stop. You just want to stop it now. Even at your door, you want to stop it from going any further. But that wasn't to be. But in hindsight, when I think back on that, I realize it was Satan. He was very, very unhappy about that feet washing process because it was 25 nomadic families. And for the first time, really being touched by Christ. So in a way, throughout the months that the persecution happened on my own life, I also gradually began to realize that. The comfort from that as well was realizing you really are in the will of God. And as the Lord put it on my heart later on, in while they were interrogating me and persecuting me and making me, wanting me to write things which I couldn't agree with, he was reminding me again and again that it's because of me you're being persecuted. That encouraged me a lot to push through, to stand my ground on Christ. And he imparted in my heart a great love for the persecutors in such a way that I'd never experienced before, that I could actually, as they were hitting me and doing what they were doing, I could love them, and I could express that love back to them every time they struck me. I could just impart this love of Christ to them and telling them that Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. And finally, when the Lord just imparted in my heart the words that he said on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." I was just so deeply special to my heart, and it gave me a deeper realization of what the crucifixion really is about.
I encourage you to listen to her full story entitled "I Can Only Rely on Jesus." You can find her story and others at persecution.com. How much is Jesus worth to you? Would you take a beating for Jesus? Would you die for Jesus? The better question is this: will you live for Jesus? We may not all have the opportunity to die for Jesus, but we all have the opportunity to live for him. The purpose of persecution is to silence witness. When we remain silent rather than bearing witness to the gospel, we stand with the persecutors and not with the persecuted. But when we stand for the gospel here, we stand with our brothers and sisters in Christ everywhere. And when we stand for the gospel, we should expect persecution. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. So we've looked at Matthew 5:11 and Jesus' call to expect persecution. Now in verse 12, Jesus calls us to embrace persecution. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, embrace it. That was really good. Thumbs up. Check out Matthew 5:12. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. It's hard for us to think of persecution as something to celebrate, right? In a few weeks, we'll walk through Matthew 5:38 through 47, where Jesus teaches us to turn the other cheek and pray for those who persecute us. It's a surprising passage, but perhaps the most surprising of all is right here in verse 12. How do we respond as Christians when people insult us, persecute us, and falsely say all kinds of evil against us? We rejoice. We rejoice. Why? Because when we are being persecuted for Jesus, we share in his suffering and his reward. The Bible gives us dozens of reasons why we should celebrate persecution. But for sake of time, here are three reasons to rejoice. First, persecution brings us closer to Jesus. Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. When we suffer for Jesus, we share in his suffering. Second, persecution strengthens our perseverance, character, and hope. Persecution strengthens our perseverance, character, and hope. Romans 5, verses 3 through 4. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Suffering not only brings us closer to Jesus, it makes us more like him. Third, persecution pales in comparison to the reward of heaven. Persecution pales in comparison the reward of heaven. Romans 8:13, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. We'll suffer only a short while before we are face to face with Jesus. Insults, persecution, false accusation are worth it if we have the opportunity to share the love of Jesus with someone. But we'll never be persecuted in the way the prophets were before us. We will never experience that great reward if we remain silent about our faith. On a lighter note, I recently read a satire article that pokes fun at our best efforts to witness. Listen to this joking headline. Local man fervently prays that someone else will witness to his Muslim neighbors. The article reads, when a Muslim family moved next door to local Christian believer, James Benson, the faithful Christian knew right away that God had placed the family of devoted followers of Islam in his life for a reason, so that he could pray right away that God would send someone else to share the Christian faith with them. I just pray that you would bring someone into this family's life, Lord. Place a Christian near them, perhaps a next-door neighbor or something. Benson passionately prayed Wednesday morning, according to sources close to him. Here I am, Lord. Send someone. At publishing time, Benson had begun praying that God would send someone to witness to his atheist coworker. In all seriousness, if you're not facing some level of persecution because of how you live and share your faith in Jesus Christ, then chances are either A, you live in a Christian bubble and you have no exposure with the world, Or B, you are not proclaiming the gospel. Proclamation invites persecution. If you're following Jesus, chances are you will look different than those around you who don't know Jesus. And chances are you'll be targeted because of those differences. People will insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil about you. Rachel never makes a crude joke. She thinks she's better than everyone else. When we go out, Matt only has one drink, talks about church, and goes home early to his family. He has no life. Oh, don't invite Sarah. She's religious. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Non-Christians haven't yet experienced the joy of knowing Christ. They don't know what they're missing. We do. Our brothers and sisters around the world are facing arrest, imprisonment, torture, and death threats for their faith in Jesus. We can handle a little embarrassment and social pressure. And when we do, we can rejoice, knowing that God rewards our faithfulness. We're hearing stories today from persecuted Christians around the world. This is one of my favorites, from a persecuted Romanian Christian named Joseph Tsan. Listen as Joseph recounts his experience being arrested by communists for telling others about Jesus. He writes, "I remember one Monday when two officers were interrogating me. About midday, a general came into the room. He signaled with his hand for the rest to leave. He began to curse me, hit me, finally knocking my head against the wall. I shouted so that other detainees in nearby rooms would hear me. What the general was doing was clearly illegal. He kept on for a while, then left without a word. The two officers came back and resumed the interrogation as if nothing had happened. On Thursday afternoon, the general returned. He again motioned with his hand for the two to leave. I braced myself for a second round of beating. But the man sat down behind the desk and said, 'Don't worry. This time I've come to talk to you.' Now the Lord has promised that when his people are questioned, the Holy Spirit will do the talking. I myself was surprised as I said, 'Mr. General, I want first of all to apologize for what happened Monday. On Tuesday, I had plenty of time to think. All of a sudden, it dawned on me that this is Holy Week. And sir, for a Christian, there is nothing more beautiful than to suffer during the time that his Lord and Savior suffered. When you beat me, you did me a great honor. I am sorry for shouting at you. I should have thanked you for the most beautiful gift you could ever have given me. Since Tuesday, I have been praying for you and your family.' The general tried hard to swallow. Then somehow he said, 'Well, I shouldn't have done it. I'm sorry.' We talked many days after that. Eventually, the general said, 'Would you put on paper all you have said to me? I want the president of our country to read it.' From this, I learned that no one, not even a communist, is beyond the reach of God's love. They desperately needed to see Christ in me." Now that's a picture of embracing persecution. At first, Joseph saw the general as his enemy. But then he saw him through Jesus' eyes as someone who desperately needed the love of Christ. He embraced what Jesus taught in Matthew 5:44. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. But we'll only have the opportunity to embrace persecution if we're living as witnesses of Jesus. In the words of the missionary pilot Jim Elliot, he is no fool to give what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Not all of us are called to witness in the most dangerous corners of the world, but all of us are called to witness in some corner of the world. You may not be arrested, imprisoned, or killed for your faith, but let's be honest, in our culture, it can be pretty awkward to bring up Jesus. The question is the awkwardness, embarrassment, and maybe even ridicule worth it if you can share the love of Jesus with someone? This morning, we've been reminded to expect persecution. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. We've been emboldened to embrace persecution. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We've heard stories from around the world of persecuted brothers and sisters. Before God sends us out into our week, I hope we'll hear one more story. It's the story of the man who suffered for you, for me. It's the story of Jesus, fully God, fully man. Jesus was born in a barn that Christmas morning. He lived the perfect life that God always wanted for us, the life we never could live on our own, the life in perfect obedience to God the Father. Matthew 27, verses 28 and 29. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and then twisted together a crown of thorns and pressed it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews. They crucified him on a Roman cross for false charges. The innocent Lamb of God dying the death that we deserved for our sins. He died for our sins, but he didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he rose from the grave victorious over sin and death, so that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This morning, if you've never started a relationship with Jesus, there is no better time than now. He is worth it. He is worth everything. All you have to do is call on him. In the quietness of this moment, in the quietness of your thoughts, call on Jesus. Lord Jesus, I am yours. Save me. Lord Jesus, I am yours. Save me. He is with us. He hears us. He will. Then follow him into a life of unending joy with God. We have three to-gos this morning to help you apply all that God is teaching you to your week. The first is this. Visit persecution.com and hear stories of persecuted Christians around the world. Persecution.com is the website for Voice of the Martyrs, their mission organization. Your immediate family may not be suffering for Jesus right now, but your brothers and sisters in Christ around the world sure are. Don't you want to know more? Listen and be inspired by their stories. Second, schedule prayer for persecuted Christians into your calendar. There's not a persecuted church and a free church. We are one. Hebrews 13:3. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourself were suffering. Maybe God's calling you to set an alarm on your phone to pray for persecuted Christians every day at noon or every Monday morning this month. Third, share your faith with one person this week. The purpose of persecution is to silence witness. Break the silence by sharing your faith with someone. Hey, did you know I'm a Christian? If you ever have any questions or if there's anything in your life that I could pray for, let me know. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of Jesus. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward, because he is your reward, because he is worth everything. Have a great week, and Lord willing, we'll see you next Sunday.